as we kind of get into the message for this morning, a message that we've kind of been traveling through time this Advent season of remembering things. And as we did last week, I gave you the heads up that we were time traveling and remembering history and things. And I want to take you back in time just a little bit more for this message this morning. The time traveling goes when I'm going to take you back to a moment before I became a follower of Jesus, when I was just fresh on my journey, and I would sit out and I would be in my squad car at nighttime and I would listen to things on the radio. And there was a special program on the radio, and it was actually a kids program, but it was something that caught my attention. Maybe some of you know this radio program. It's called Adventures in Odyssey. Adventures in Odyssey. Somebody knows it. And in this Adventures in Odyssey, they would take and they would do a reenactment on this radio program. And they would take us back in time and show us the history of the Bible and the way and the characters in the Bible and how things kind of happened back then. It was a special thing to open up my heart and my mind to Jesus and who he was and how my life would truly change just by following Jesus and making him part of my life. You see, I didn't have Jesus in my life for a very long time. And it's amazing how a children's program, a radio program, started in 1987, changed my life forever. Changed it forever. And we've been hearing and we've been listening and going through the Christmas story this Advent season. And I want to continue that journey in the Christmas story. We've been looking at the characters of that Christmas story. And we've been looking at not only that, the characters associated, but with some of those characters that we all know and love dear in our hearts, and we know them very well. We're really acquainted with some of them, but other ones we're not acquainted as much as, well, we think, we hope, or as we come to realize. We started this Advent season looking at Zechariah and Elizabeth and seeing how God used them, even though in their area of life and what they were going through, even through their problems of not being able to have a child and their deficiencies, that they looked at how God used them. How God used them and the fact that they thought they were not qualified, something that God used them to bring about a miracle on earth. A miracle of ushering in a new era of history. These people thought that they were not qualified, but it's one of the things that we were shown through Zechariah and Elizabeth, that when we're qualified, when he calls us to work for him and he calls us to a purpose on this earth, when he calls us to do something, he qualifies us to do what he calls us for. We don't have to worry about having everything in a row or having all of our life in you know, the perfectness that we would seem to think that it needs to be to serve God. No, he takes us in our mess, he clears up the mess, and then he uses us. He gives us the ability to do something that we would not otherwise have the ability to do. It's a special story with Zechariah and Elizabeth. From there, we jumped into another story of those that we probably know fairly well or really well, which is Mary and Joseph. And what happened? We all know the story of Mary and Joseph, what happens where the angels visit them. And they did something that was truly radical for them, and that they obeyed. There was this radical obeying that they did. They trusted God so much that when the angel told them that God said to do this, they didn't qualm around about it. They didn't try and talk themselves out about it. They didn't try to do anything else. They just obeyed. And because of their radical obeying, the baby Jesus was ushered in to change everyone's lives. Not just Mary and Joseph's, but everyone's lives. It's a truly amazing story that they have that we get to share with everybody. Because God, when he takes you and you trust him that much, he not only can change your life, but he can change the world and make the world something so wonderful. Next, we were greeted by the shepherds and the wise men. As we time traveled back, we took a look at the shepherds and the wise men during their time. And we all got to see the shepherds were not really the people that we thought they were. We look at the shepherds with fondness. We're saying these were the people that God called to see the baby Jesus, first of all, before anybody else. But we saw the fact that the shepherds were actually outcasts. They were outcasts. They were thought less of than probably almost anybody else in the Hebrew nation. In fact, sometimes they were thought of so bad and they smelled so bad that they were not allowed to go into the temple to even sacrifice and praise God. But God revealed to them first Jesus, bridging a gap between outcasts and himself. We can't forget the wise men. The wise men who traveled a very long distance, who traveled for months, if not years, to see a child that they were not even associated with. They came from the East Arab nations. And they found out about the baby Jesus from a star and probably from some prophets and word of mouth that had come down since the time of exile and having Daniel there. They found out about this star that was coming and they said, Jesus, God, we need to go see this child king who's been born that this star goes to. And they traveled a long distance and it was perilous. It was not easy. But they came, these Gentiles came and met the child Jesus, believed in the child Jesus even before his nation did. It's an amazing thing that we see God doing the moving and changing history in the world and how it looks at between the outcasts and the Gentiles who were first to see Jesus. To see the dedication in their heart to go the distance and to meet the coming Savior. But it's this morning I want to get into the end of this series and the last character of Christmas I want to introduce to you. And this character, well, hopefully you've heard of him. Hopefully if you've read your Bible, you've at least skimmed over him. But you're probably not very familiar with him. And it's this I want to speak about this morning. So if you have your Bibles or you have your apps, I would love for you to turn to the book of Luke, where we'll continue the Christmas story. In the chapter 2 of the book of Luke, we're going to continue. And we're going to continue at verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. I'm going to read this. You guys can follow along in your Bibles, or you can just listen to me as I read it. And it says, "And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man at Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law." You know, I think I'm going to stop right there for a moment. We need to look at Simeon. Because we're told about the story of Simeon here. I don't know if most of you know or even remember Simeon and coming through this as we come through the Christmas story, but Simeon was a very important part of the Christmas story, and he remains to be. It says in here that Simeon was a very righteous and devout man. And it also says in there that the Holy Spirit was upon him, which tells me that Simeon was very special. You see, the Holy Spirit didn't move a whole lot and encompass people back in the Old Testament, not like it does today after we've been given the Pentecost. You see, back then, for the Holy Spirit to be moving, it was something really special. It was usually meant for somebody that was a prophet. And then we have Simeon here, who's probably a prophet. We'll learn that later on in the story. But Simeon here was waiting for something very special. He was waiting for what they called the consolation of Israel. Now, if you think about the word consolation, we usually think of consolation like a consolation prize. But this is not that. This is not a consolation prize. See, this consolation, when you look it up in here, actually means someone who would give comfort to Israel. Someone who would be there would be special for them, to watch out over them, to soothe them in their ways. Because we have to think about what was going on back then during that time in the Old Testament. They had not heard and been around prophets of God for 400 years. They had been left by themselves. And they were waiting for their Messiah to come. The one that would, well, fix everything. And Simeon was the one was talking about, and God revealed to him that he would see the coming Messiah. In fact, if we look in there, he would be the one that revealed the calling of the Messiah. See, Mary and Joseph at that time, they were going to the temple to fulfill the law of Moses. After their time of waiting, they were to take Jesus to the temple, and he was about 8 days old. See, at 8 days old, after their purification rituals, they needed to go dedicate Jesus because he was the firstborn male. And we understand that because the firstborn male was so important. It was important to the Hebrew nation, especially when it comes to remember about all the things that had miracles and the signs and the wonders that had occurred in Egypt. And the Passover that had happened, where the angel of death passed over. And God says, you must consecrate, you must dedicate to me your firstborn males. And Jesus was that, and he was to be consecrated. And they were to take a pair of doves or young pigeons to do that. Now, most of the time, with anybody that had any money at that time, they would sacrifice a lamb or a young goat and do that. But the Lord had written into his law that if you were indigent, if you didn't have money, if you weren't financially stable, you could use these two things to do that. And we got to remember here that the wise men had not yet visited Mary and Joseph. There was no gold, there was no frankincense, there was no myrrh at this time. So they were very much poor. So they would go into the temple and they were sacrificing what they could sacrifice in these two young pigeons or these doves to dedicate Jesus to the Lord, to our Heavenly Father, as it was written to do. And they would go in there to dedicate him, and there was a number of things that were going to happen. The circumcision was going to happen, certainly. But there was another important part of this story that really happens on that eighth day. You see, the angel had given Joseph and Mary the news about what they were supposed to name the baby. Jesus, right? But in the Hebrew nation at that time, children were not actually recognized with their name until you took them to the temple and you dedicated that and you told them the name, especially the firstborn. So this is the point in time where Jesus was actually received his name as the firstborn male. It's such a great thing that we look at and we see that happening. But this Simeon, this man, this devout and righteous man, he was there. He was there for Jesus. He was there to see the sacrifice. He was there to hear the naming of him. He was there to see this baby that would change everything as he would know it, as we would see it. And he was told something very, very, well, important. He was given a promise. Simeon was given a promise. And we all know that if the Lord gives you a promise, you will receive that promise. But he had been given a very special promise. If you still have your Bibles open and you look in that chapter of Luke and you look at verse 26, you'll see in there that he says that he would be been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ or the Lord's Messiah. That Simeon would not die before he had seen this special boy. Now, if we read through the scripture and we keep on going in there, we really don't know how long he waited. I don't read in the scripture anywhere when he was told this. I don't know how old Simeon is. I don't know if he had been waiting days or if he had been waiting years to see this child boy, this baby Messiah, the Lord's Christ. But we know that he waited and we know that it was revealed to him. We know the fact that Simeon was a man devoted to God, and he was a man of the Spirit, because the Spirit would come upon him and reveal things, and he would listen to the Holy Spirit and follow what was being told to him. And the Holy Spirit led him to the temple that day. It led him somewhere very special to be a part of a very special event that was going on. And when he was there, Simeon did something very, very special for Jesus, for Mary and Joseph, and for himself. And if you want to continue with me reading the story here, we're going to jump to verse 28, where it starts to say, "Then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel.'" You see, Simeon took this young baby, this infant, this newborn, into his arms, and he praised God. He praised God for him, saying, "This child is so special." In fact, he used the words, "For mine eyes have seen your salvation," meaning that he now understood the fact that he's seeing the Messiah. He's seeing this bundle of cloth wrapped around a child that's going to change everything. That's going to be there for everybody. I can only imagine that the anticipation that Simeon had, waiting to see this baby. You ever been there? You ever been there in a moment where you just anticipated something so much that it just seems to encompass your entire life? An anticipation of something. You know, I remember as a kid that I would grow up and I'd be so excited for Christmas that sometimes I wouldn't be able to sleep the night before. You know, by the time I got to sleep, it just seemed like I was waking up, but that was okay for me because I was anticipating the next morning. I couldn't wait to see what was under the tree and what was going on. I couldn't wait to just be around and have cookies and candies and eat and do all that fun stuff. I couldn't wait for that to happen. That anticipation. Perhaps you've been there at that point in time where you've anticipated seeing a relative maybe. Or perhaps you've anticipated a very special event on your life that it seems like your entire life was encompassed by it. That you couldn't think of anything else during that time. I don't know. But here we have Simeon. A faithful follower, a righteous and devoted man of God, anticipating something so special and waiting for Jesus to come. All because he was given a promise. that he would not depart or die before he had seen the Messiah. He had no idea of when it would happen. No clue was given. No clue was given in Scripture anyway. But he waited and he trusted. He trusted with all of his soul that he knew it would happen. He trusted it. And because he trusted it, he followed the Spirit's promptings. And he went to the temple with boldness inside of him to go up to a newborn's parents and say, "Can I hold your child?" Imagine that, stranger. So a stranger came up to you. If you've got a newborn child and a stranger said, "Can I hold your child?" What would your thoughts be? "I don't think so." But somewhere in here, this stranger came up to them and he was able to hold him. And not only hold him, but he was able to pray over him and worship God and say, "Thank you." Say, "God, you're blessed for sending us this baby boy." I can only imagine. He made the declaration. He just made it. It says, "Your promise has been fulfilled." And he said, "Now that I've seen this child, I can go home." Again, I don't know how old he was. Maybe he had a ways to go. I don't know. Maybe he didn't have a ways to go. But he said to them, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Because Simeon had such peace. Imagine what a sense of peace he had of receiving this promise of God, seeing the Christ child. Have you ever visited with somebody that had this sense of peace? You ever been in their presence with somebody that's had a sense of peace that is beyond any logic that you can think of? Whatever it might be for. Maybe they're going through a health issue. Maybe they're going through something else. I don't know. There are people out there that have such peace about it that you just look at them in awe and wonder at how they got there. I can imagine Simeon had this type of peace because he said, "I'm ready now. I'm ready to go." You know, Simeon didn't just praise God for what he had received. He didn't praise God for, "Thank you for showing this baby child. It's great. I can go now because you showed me what you promised." He did something else. He praised and he thanked God for revealing Jesus to the world. He says, "You revealed this revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." That meant he showed Jesus was for everybody, not just for a select few. Just as we saw the shepherds come in, the outcasts, just as we saw the wise men come in, the Gentiles, we know that Jesus is for everybody. And this was that moment that Simeon was even recognizing that point, that Jesus was not just for the Pharisees and Sadducees and those devout Hebrews, but he was for everybody. He made Jesus part of everybody's life where you could have access to him if you wanted it. If you wanted him. And Simeon gave thanks to God for making this Messiah available to all people. That was kind of out of the norm for Hebrews. They were very protective and very close-knitted with their prophecies. But Simeon saw something here that others did not see. And in seeing that, Simeon shared a last revelation. And this is where I want to conclude our Christmas story at. So if you still have your Bibles open to Luke, let's read in verse 34 and 35 what he said. And it says here, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Simeon just didn't give a glorious message, didn't just give a glad message. He also gave a message of warning. He gave a message of what was exactly going to happen. He said, this boy child, through him, through Jesus, you will see the rise and fall of many. I think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and how they probably felt about this. We know if we read through our scripture that they didn't necessarily get along with Jesus, because they were the people that thought they were first in society and found out they were actually last. And those outcasts that were out there and the Gentiles out there that thought they were last and were just thrown aside found out that they were first in Jesus' heart. Simeon brought this revelation to the world and had a special message for his mother. It says, even your own heart will be pierced. He was warning her that she was going to suffer and be brokenhearted, saying that your child is going to go through something that is definitely going to break your heart. But it's necessary. It has to happen. But he was going to reveal the thoughts of the world, Jesus was. The thoughts of many hearts. The thought of your heart. The thoughts of my heart. They would be well known. After Simeon gets done doing all these things, holding this special boy child, he just kind of disappears. We don't hear anything else about him. We don't hear about how long he lived afterwards. We don't hear about maybe how he was treated or whether he even shared the word anymore after that. It just kind of stops. But you see, Simeon had a very special part in the Christmas story. He was definitely one of the main characters. We don't usually think of him as being that main character, but he was. He had to be. You see, Simeon was the one who verbally signaled the Messiah had arrived. He was the first one who said with his mouth, "The Christ child is here." What a special gift he was given. What a special moment he was given. That God would trust him with something so immense. And he would share it. And he would be able to see this child. You know, we look at this and we think about how the Christmas story stops at the end of that, well, in that second chapter about there. But the thing is, the Christmas story really doesn't stop there. It lives on. The Christmas story is alive today. It lives on in each and every person that would call themselves a follower of Christ. The Christmas story would live upon in your heart, so which means the Christmas story still lives. Every time you come to the year of remembering the season and have Christmas, and you go to Christmas Eve Day and Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day, the Christmas story lives on, and it doesn't just stop there on those specific days. It goes on to the day after that, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, on and on and on. Why? Because the Christmas story lives in each and every one of our hearts. Because Jesus lives on in each and every one of our hearts. That is the special part of it. Because the Christmas story is a promise. It's a promise of salvation to the world and for the world. And this special story can't be left behind. See, Jesus came so we could have something different. He came as a little baby so we could have a connection with Him, a physical connection. And it wasn't just something to look as spiritual. No, Jesus was God in flesh. And because of that, we can have a connection with Him we could not have otherwise. Of expressing our love to Jesus. And this connection is something that we can truly build a relationship upon. I don't know about you guys. Perhaps Jesus is calling you to a relationship with Him. Perhaps He's calling you to a deeper relationship with Him. But it's amazing that we have even the opportunity to do that. To reach out in faith and to trust in Him. To trust Jesus and be delivered from death. Because that's what we're told. That's the promise that we're given. That if you believe in Jesus, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that He was died and risen from the grave, you would not know death. You would have eternal life. This is what Jesus is about. It's about this season of remembering Him and being about Jesus and what He has called to this world. So as we go along and we celebrate Christmas, let's remember this precious gift that we're given. Let's remember exactly what it is that we live for, this gift of new life for us. A gift that He gave so willingly. And we go out and we're going to worship Jesus. We're going to worship Jesus on the day that we celebrate His birth and each and every other day. We're going to proclaim it from the highest mountains and in the lowest valleys. We're going to proclaim Jesus' name. And we're going to be filled with excitement and anticipation of what comes next. That's something I truly am living for. Just like Simeon was watching and waiting in anticipation, I want each and every one of us to wait in anticipation of what Jesus is going to do next. That's worth living for, right? Right. Let's stand and let's celebrate and let's sing to His greatness and His glory, this child that came and changed the world.